Our expository text is the lectionary reading from the epistles, from Paul's letter to the Christians at Colossae. We'll be reading in Colossians 1, verses 11 through 20. You can find that on page 200 in the Pew Bibles in front of you. Let's hear the word of the Lord. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from His glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He, that is Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in Him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He Himself is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He might come to have first place in everything. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him God was pleased to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of His cross. This is the word of the Lord. You know, years ago, someone broke into the home of Ann Graham Lotz. If you don't know Ann Graham Lotz, she's the daughter of the famous evangelist Billy Graham. And these thieves came in and stole just about everything of great monetary value of her possessions. And that evening, as she lay in bed, she felt the fear and the anger and the sense of intrusion, violation, that something like that would ensue. But as she lay there and thinking about all of the material possessions that she had lost, she reflected on the truth that's reflected in our text today. And that is, as believers in Christ, as followers of Christ, we have an inheritance coming to us that goes far beyond whatever material blessings we could ever find in this life, right? And so as she started to fall asleep, she decided to thank God instead of curse the darkness. And so she decided to thank God by going through the alphabet and praising Him for each letter in the alphabet. She started at A and praised God for being accepted by Him, B for being beloved, C for being chosen, D for being delivered, E for being enlightened by God, for His forgiveness, for His grace, for the hope that comes our way, for inheritance in heaven, for justification by faith, for knowledge of God, for the love of God, for the mercy of God, for being near unto Him, for God's openness to us, and for the peace that comes through Christ, through the quickening of the Holy Spirit, through being redeemed by His blood, sealed with the Holy Spirit, treasured by God, united with the body of Christ, validated as an authentic child of God. And in conclusion, she thanked God for His wisdom and that one day she would be exalted with Him. That's where she ended. Now, I don't know why she didn't thank God for Bob Zoba, but, you know, she didn't. But I thought it would be kind of cool to begin this morning on this Sunday before Thanksgiving, if we took a little time of corporate prayer. And I'd like you to just say a word of thanksgiving. It doesn't have to be more than a word, or maybe a little phrase, as the Spirit leads, in no particular order, ordered by the Holy Spirit. Let's just take a minute and do that as a congregation. Speak out boldly. Let's pray. Speak loudly. Yes, Lord. Amen. Gracias. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Yes. Thank you. Yes. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. 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 Praise you, Lord. Yes. Amen. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's a great way to begin a message on Thanksgiving, by beginning by giving thanks and enumerating all His good gifts. Indeed, as we contemplate our text today here in verse 12, we read here that the apostle writes, giving thanks to the Father who has enabled us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. And in light of that exhortation, let's note here that the emphasis there is not on material blessings, but is on spiritual blessings. And that is noteworthy, as we should be wary of focusing too much on material blessings without the attitudinal filter of the spiritual realities of God's Word. Because let's face it, material blessings are only truly appreciated if we have an attitude of gratitude. For example, sometime back in the U.S. News and World Report, Linda Coleman wrote an article where she noted that back in 1950, the average American family had one car. Today, one in five families has three cars. Interesting. She found that Americans spend more money each year on garbage bags than 90 of the 200-plus countries of the world spend on everything else. Wow. Think about that. That's pretty amazing. She found that in America, there are more strip malls and malls. In fact, there are twice as many of those as there are high schools. Interesting. In 1900, the average person living in the United States wanted 72 different things and considered that 18 of them were essential. In modern times, Americans want 500 things and assume that 100 of those are now absolutely essential. I'm sure cable TV is one of those. So what a country, huh? Indeed, how often do we become so obsessed with material blessings and getting upset about what we don't have, or getting upset about what others appear to have, that we forget to be grateful for what we do have? Isn't that true? I read about an author by the name of Robert Hill who went to Bangkok, Thailand years ago, he and his wife, and they had a Thai tour guide. He called himself Joseph. I'm sure that wasn't his real name, but he called himself Joseph. And as he got to know him, he said to Bob, he said, listen, Mr. Hill, he said, I think you're a rich man, aren't you? And Hill looked at him, he kind of laughed. He said, no, I'm not rich. You're just middle class. And so he asked him, Joseph said, do you have a car? Bob said, yeah, I got a car. Actually, my wife and I, we both have a car. We have two cars. Two cars? Yeah, two cars. And he said, do you have a house? He said, yeah. He said, well, what's your house like? He said, well, you know, it's a middle-class house. We've got 10 rooms. 10 rooms? He said, my family and I share 2 rooms. Really? He says, do you have a family, have kids? He says, yes, we have two in college and two at home. Two in college. You sent them to college? Yes. He sat there for a minute, then he said, Mr. Hill, you are a rich man. And he said he kind of laughed, he and his wife. But deep down in his heart, he realized that from the world's perspective, he really was a rich man. They were rich. But the question is, were they grateful? Were they thankful? That's always the question. No matter how many material blessings we enjoy, are we grateful for what we have? Indeed, someone once observed that 95% of Christians could probably survive the test of persecution, but 95% of Christians will probably fail the test of prosperity. And there's probably some truth to that, isn't there? Because good times cause us to forget the goodness of God, don't they? And that brings us to the second thing that needs to be said, and that is, when it comes to the subject of thanksgiving, attitude is everything. Attitude is everything. In fact, have you ever noticed that our attitude of gratitude seems to work in reverse in proportion to the amount of blessings that we've received? Martin Luther, the great reformer, said this, I quote, "The greater gifts of God's gifts and works, the less they are regarded." And that's true. That's very true. In fact, a starving man will appreciate much more a tiny morsel of bread than you and I will probably appreciate the bounty that we're going to sit down to on Thursday. A poor widowed woman living in a nursing home will appreciate far more the visit of one person once a month than most rich people would appreciate a birthday party thrown in their favor with many friends and visitors. I would wager that the average Christian in North Korea who receives a New Testament for the first time after decades of state-sponsored atheism would far more appreciate that one New Testament than you and I are grateful for the dozens of Bibles and Christian books and magazines in our possession. Right? Isn't it interesting how that works? I like what Ralph Waldo Emerson once observed. He said, imagine if the constellations and the stars of the sky only appeared once every 1,000 years. Imagine that, if that were to happen in our lifetime, all of the hoop-to-doo, that why there would be a national holiday declared the day after, because we would all be staying up that night looking at the incredible glory of the heavens that God has created. And yet, how many of us even give a glance on a starry night? How many of you saw the supermoon last week? Why was it so incredible? Well, we won't see another one in 18 years. And yet, every night we see the moon, it's pretty amazing, isn't it? That God has lighted the night sky for us. Indeed, most of us, I think if we were suddenly thrown into prison, where we had no liberty, had no say over what we ate, when we ate, what we could do, where we could go. I wonder if we were in that situation, if we could write these words, giving thanks to the Father who has enabled us to share in the inheritance of the saints. And yet, do you know where the Apostle Paul was when he penned those very words? In prison. He was in a Roman prison, probably attached to some Roman guard. His freedom gone, but his spirit liberated, grateful, thankful. On this Thursday, we will remember the gratefulness of the pilgrims so many centuries ago. But do you know that first year they lost almost half of their party to disease and sickness? And yet they were grateful to the Lord. And I doubt after their Thanksgiving meal that they were able to slouch in a soft sofa and slumber as they tried to watch the Cowboys play the Redskins on a 50-inch high-definition TV. I doubt they did that. What do you think? And yet they were thankful to God for the religious liberty that they could enjoy in this brave new world. But what about us? Are we thankful people? You know, last week I was thinking a little bit along these lines. You know, sometimes in ministry, we get different stretches, Christy and I, in our family in terms of commitments during the day. Sometimes the week doesn't end on Friday. Often it's Saturday and Sunday, so one week just sort of bleeds into the next. And we'll go sometimes with evening commitments, four or five evening commitments in a row. And so always during the week, I always think about a special time when we've set aside Friday, late Friday afternoons. We have a little date. We go to a matinee, then we go to dinner, and I always look forward to that. But I noticed a week or so back that, you know, with all the stress sometimes of the week and sometimes the stress of the week to come, that, you know, you have those special times when you're going to just relax and celebrate, but you're still stressed out. Did you ever notice that? And I'm thinking, you know what? This is the time of the week I've been looking for. Why am I not enjoying this? Why am I not thankful? Why am I not in the moment? Why am I not just enjoying time with Christy, just enjoying relaxation? Why? And so I made a point, say, you know what? You better enjoy this time because this is the time you're going to get. And so I really, really made a conscious effort to do that, and I enjoyed it. And you know what happened? It carried over to the rest of the week in some of those times when it's not quite so fun to enjoy those aspects of well, to just have a thankful spirit and appreciate every moment that God brings us. And we need to do that, don't we? We need to develop that as a discipline, right? And it all goes back to an attitude of gratitude. See? I like to compare this principle to my driving experience here in Puerto Rico. When I first got here back 13 years ago, we had a manse, a parsonage. Depends on what your tradition is, manse, parsonage, pastor's house. And it was just right over here, wasn't quite done. So they put me down in condado, up in a condo, like 13 floors up. I thought, I'm happy here. I'll stay here. It was beautiful. But I love condado. And so, but I had to drive the plaza, across the plaza, you know, the autopista there. And I tell you, the first time I drove here to the church, I was petrified. I mean, it's like six lanes there, right? And people are going left and right. And there seems to be no organization, no rules. And it's like, ah! And also, I had a problem because, you know, I was down here on a mission. I was going to teach all these drivers how to drive. I was going to teach them how to drive right. And so I would have this perpetual scowl. I would have this attitude of anger. I would be yelling at people while I'm driving. And I was miserable, right? Miserable. Well, I'm happy to say I'm not miserable anymore. In fact, I actually enjoy driving down here. It's a challenge. It's fun. It's stimulating. It's relaxing. Really. It is. Some people say I'm no longer part of the solution, I'm part of the problem, but that's another story. But really, as you spend time here, you get little nuances. For example, there are rules out there. It's kind of like a dance. You just have to learn the steps, and there are steps out there. For example, if you're a gringo and you're on a narrow road and a guy's in front of you in a car and he sees somebody he knows on the side of the road and he stops, and no one can get by, what happens if you do that in the States? Beep. Hey, move it, man. What are you doing? Or you get shot. Something like that, right? You don't do that in Puerto Rico. No, no, no. Why? Because in Puerto Rico, relationships are more important than punctuality. I haven't seen this guy in a long time. I'm going to stop and say hi. So if somebody does that, you better give him 30 seconds to a minute before you do anything. Now, he knows you're there. He's not going to stay there all day, but this is important. You better give him space. That's a rule. You can either adapt to that rule or you can go crazy. But actually, that's a good rule. I like that rule. It's for a good purpose. You see your friend, you should be able to talk to him. So I have changed. I feel good. Has the driving out there changed? No, I don't think so. But I've changed my attitude. I'm a happier person. You can go through life that in a lot of different directions. Circumstances in your life may not change. So who's going to have to change? You are. You're going to have to adjust your attitude. Well, that's what God is saying in terms of thanksgiving. You can either go through life miserable or grateful. But it's a choice. And that's critical. It's critical to have a heart of thanksgiving. In fact, psychologists tell us, do you know what the worst mentality of all, the most deadly, the most unhealthy mentality that you can have as a human being? That is to have a mentality of revenge. Ooh, somebody did me wrong, I'm going to get them. Life did me wrong, I'm going to get life. God did me wrong, I'm going to get God. The church did me wrong, I'm going to get the church. My wife did me wrong, I'm going to get her. My kids did me wrong. That's a terrible way to live life. Terrible way to live life. You know what they say is the most healthy way to live? With an attitude of thanksgiving. A thankful mind, a grateful mind, is a great mind. Because that is the mind of God. That's the kind of mindset we need to have. And that's the third and last thing that we need to see here, that gratitude is an essential quality to the Christian life. In fact, someone has observed that theology is grace and ethics is gratitude. Let me say that again. That's a very profound statement. You've got to think about that. Theology is grace. Gratitude is ethics. What do I mean by that? What's the basis of our theology? God's grace through Jesus Christ. What's the basis of our ethics? How we live in moral righteousness springs from what? Our sense of gratitude. You see, you don't get brownie points in heaven for doing good works. We don't do good works to merit heaven. Why? Because the Bible tells us clearly, and experience proves, that we can't be good enough, ever good enough, to measure up to God's standards. We always fall short. We will never do enough good works to merit heaven. Salvation comes by grace. Salvation comes by the cross that Christ took our debt onto his side and took his credits onto our side. Thus, his righteousness is imputed unto us. And that is not works, folks. That's grace. Grace. Theology is all about grace. Right? But ethics is about gratitude. Verse 13, he says, "He that is God has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son." And that's something to be grateful for, isn't it? What's the Old Testament parallel of that passage? God's chosen people were enslaved. They were in a dominion of darkness in Egypt. They had no freedom. They were oppressed. God delivered them and translated them into the kingdom of the promised land. Right? What is the New Testament parallel of that? Apart from Christ, you and I are in slavery. We're in the dominion of darkness. We're enslaved to addiction. Each of us. And some of those addictions are socially acceptable addictions. Like workaholism is a socially acceptable addiction. Materialism is a socially acceptable addiction. Careerism is a socially acceptable addiction. But of course, there are other addictions that are not socially acceptable, whether it be alcohol abuse or drug abuse or pornography or sexual perversion. But regardless, all of those addictions are slavery. If you're addicted, you're a slave. But when Christ comes into our life and the Holy Spirit comes into our life, He gives us the power to overcome those addictions, to break free of those addictions, and to walk in His light and in His kingdom. That is what we're grateful for, that we've been adopted as sons and daughters into His kingdom. Right? Now, what does that look like in life? Let me close by sharing a true story that I read about, where a teenage girl, like so many teenage young men and women today, had given herself over to the dominion of darkness that is known as teen culture today, that in so many ways is so dark and so debauched and so perverse and so separate from the values and the teachings of the Lord, that she had just given herself over to that. In fact, one night she had gotten so drunk, so wasted, that she could barely drive her car home, and in the process got arrested for drunk driving and was taken and put into jail, put into prison. She was enslaved there. She had no freedom. She couldn't leave. The epitome of her spiritual state personified. She was estranged from her mother because of her rebellion. In fact, it was Shakespeare who said, like a serpent's sharpened tongue is a son or daughter who is ungrateful. That's what she was. But you know what the mother did? She came and she rescued her daughter. She came and delivered her daughter. She came and bailed her daughter out of jail. That night they didn't talk. The next morning they didn't talk. That afternoon, however, her mother came up to her and she gave her a little box that was wrapped. The girl nonchalantly opened it and found there a little rock. "Cute, Mom," she says. "You didn't read the card." She read the card. Tears started to trickle down her eyes. She went over and she hugged and she kissed her mother. The card said this: "This rock has been around for 200 million years. That's how long I will go before I ever give up on you." Amen. God never gave up on you. He never will. He never will. That's grace. That's grace. Theology is grace. Ethics is gratitude. The question is, what are you going to do with that grace? Are you going to be grateful to God by living lives of righteousness unto Him? Or not? That's our choice. Let's pray about that. Lord, your grace is undeniable. Your grace is clear. The question is, How grateful are we? How grateful are we in light of your grace? How will we then live because of your grace? Lord, in the season of thanksgiving, let us see that you call us to give unto you, back unto you, a life of service, of passion, of pursuit, and of grace unto others. Give us grateful hearts, Lord, that translates into lives of grateful righteousness and love and service unto you, to your church, and to the people that you love so much that you sent your Son to die for them too. We pray that in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Thank you.